T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Corner of Broadway and Battery. You're listening to Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by BMW Fairfield.
Had I told you the Lakers would get a combined 67 from LeBron James and Anthony Davis while hitting more threes than the Warriors, while Golden State turned it over 17 times, you would have rightfully bet your home that the Warriors lost that game. But they didn't. What a great way to start a basketball season. All kinds of interesting dripping off that game. Steve Kerr at 5 o'clock tonight to stop on by and talk about it. In the meantime, it's me, it's Ray. At 4 o'clock, it'll be Nick Bosa joining us. That's a really good guest list. Gold star for Lucas today, which means absolutely nothing outside of the realm of radio. Just a gold star. But nice job, Lucas, booking this one. And Ray, Warriors looked a little bit like the Golden State Warriors last night. Just a little.
They had periods where they moved the ball the way they are supposed to, the way they are designed to, and the way they operate best. When they move the ball like that, and the guy I credit for that more than anybody else is probably Bielitsa, because he just gets spacing. And, I mean, because I expect that from Iguodala, I'm kind of giving him a pass, but he too, they just understand the way the offense works. And it's why when you used to talk about Curry needing 23s a game, you don't need that when you can run the offense that way, because everybody will get theirs. And it's sort of between that and the way they defended everybody not named James or Davis, it really did look like the Warriors of 15 and 16. Just a team that says, we move the ball better than you do, and we will defend everybody who's available to us to defend.
Six guys going into double figures. I'm not going to drop the strength in numbers on you. It's a little too early to start coming up with season monikers after just one win. But the Warriors did. Space the court. Ball movement has always been the key to their offense, and they got plenty of it last night. And what's funny is around the spots where they played poorly, they still didn't fall far behind. And that is the real difference between what you saw from them last year and what you saw from them last night. Last season, sloppy basketball was an automatic date with the loss column. Last night, you had a sloppy first half. You had Curry and Draymond specifically playing sloppy, the two of them at times. Curry and Poole struggled with their shots, their rhythm last night. LeBron James and Anthony Davis started off that game as beasts. LeBron had 34 and 11. Davis had 33 and 11. No other Lakers reached double figures. The Warriors put six players into double figures last night. Again, we're not going to drop a strength in numbers on you. It's a little bit too much, But I was really impressed. And I don't know if I'm going to go with Nemanja Bird or Larry Bielitsa, but that guy played like Larry Bird last night. He really did.
You might be overselling this a bit.
Just a touch. I'm allowed to be excited after one win, right?
Yeah, but you make the point that probably is the most salient one, which is they didn't need to go to the usual targets. I mean, they got Bielitsa was fine, Damian Lee was fine, Poole got 18 shots up, and a lot of them were open looks. I don't know how much longer that's going to continue. I think people are going to get on to him pretty soon.
Yeah. Enjoy the space while you got it, kid.
Yeah. But the truth is, this is what the Warriors are meant to be. And that they didn't do it for 48 minutes because they still have limitations on this roster. But when they were doing it, the Lakers were, I don't want to say befuddled because they're too old to be befuddled. They just couldn't get to everybody in time. The Warriors did the one thing that Steve Kerr preaches about all the time, 30 assists or more. And it was 30 assists on 41 field goals. I mean, that's ball movement. It's as easy a way to define it as watching every play.
The Warriors, look, the Warriors last night zipped it around and they hit the shots when they needed to. They closed quarters strongly, which was important in every instance to take what looked to be a gap that was, the Lakers were creating, and just shrink it back to 5-4 points every single time that happened. Look, Curry did not have a good shooting night. Jordan Poole didn't have a good shooting night. The Golden State Warriors collectively did not have a great shooting night. And yet they were able to beat the Lakers, who had two monsters and 10 also-rans. I mean, that's really what that looked like last night. That's the highest total, by the way, a combined 67 from LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's the first time the two of them have reached that combined point total and the Lakers lost, which is literally what they built this team to prevent from happening over and over again. And they might be caught in a cycle. You will never guess who led the Lakers in terms of plus-minus last night, or who failed them the most in the plus-minus last night. It was Russell Westbrook. For the Warriors, a game-high plus 20 for Bielitsa. Again, he was really impressive. I didn't think he got down like that, quite like that. I knew he was a good spot-up shooter. I knew that he was going to be fundamentally sound, but I didn't think that he was going to be Chris Webber passing out of the low post at times, and he was last night.
No, he knows how to play. He's been surrounded for most of his career by guys who didn't know the game as well as he did. But on a team like this, where you've got both forwards are veterans. Center's a veteran, although he's not really going to help you with the ball in his hands much. Plus Iguodala, plus Porter, who only played 11 minutes, and Poole, who is becoming a veteran. He had targets to throw to, so he felt comfortable distributing the basketball. And when he's a guy who passes, when Iguodala's passing, when Curry's passing, when Green is passing, I mean, there's distribution all over the place. And that's how the Warriors work. They don't work by funneling it to one or two guys because their one or two guys are small. And eventually, teams with size can do things to them. The problem that the Lakers had last night is that they didn't have enough guys. I mean, Russell Westbrook was an absolute cipher. And, I don't know how long they can go with him playing 35 minutes a night, but I don't think they have the nerve not to let him go 35 minutes a night.
Him that's and Rondo be an can't play problem. Together. I mean, that's a thing. He and Rondo at the same time, you got two non-shooters in your backcourt, and that's just, I mean, that's...
But Rondo's willing not to shoot.
He is.
Westbrook is not. That's the problem. A guy who doesn't shoot well but wants 13 shots a game... That's
a problem.
Frank Vogel will be blamed for this sooner or later.
Warriors outscored the Lakers 68-55 in the second half. They win by 7 points, 121-114, your final. Ray, who told you to put it on the money line last night?
You did.
There you go, honey. Put it on the money, honey.
But you also had Bellinger as the leading scorer.
Cody Bellinger?
Yeah. Is there any other?
Not anymore. That's for sure. Welcome back to the good graces of the city of Los Angeles, Cody Bellinger. We'll get to all that in just a second. We're brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. Wow. I mean, you want to talk about getting up off the mat. That is exactly what the Dodgers did last night. All of a sudden, we got an NLCS. And Astros, Boston, Houston just opening the can of whoop-ass at the ninth inning? It was the eighth or ninth inning. It was a ninth inning. Seven runs they put up in Fenway last night. It was the top. Yeah, top.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is Red Sox fans were complaining about one ball strike call on Eovaldi might have ended the inning.
It might have ended the inning.
But throw another one like it.
Well,
you know, there is something that's you're about to see a change in the way playoff baseball is run by managers and general managers. These are the series in which there's too much reliance on starters as relievers, and it wears you down faster as series go on. I mean, I don't know what the Red Sox do with Eovaldi now. And he's one of their most important pitchers.
More than any other sport, baseball players are creatures of habit. And when you get a guy to come out of his habits, once or twice can be enough to tinker. Really. I mean, look at what we've seen from Urias, who is starting tonight. And he's starting tonight with an 0-0 record and an ERA of 18, thanks to his relief appearances.
Yeah, because he's being used too much and too frequently. I mean, that's the problem. It's, you know, when you say baseball players are creatures of habit, they're creatures of habit when their job is to work every fifth day. When their job has suddenly become to throw harder and work every 3 days or every 2 days, you wear out fast, because basically what you're doing is you're cramming a full start into two games, and the longer you do that, the worse it gets. And the reason why Tampa Bay's been so good at it is they don't ask the two starters who work deep to do that. They're exempted from the rest of the heavy lifting, and everybody else is used to it. That's why it works better for them than anybody else.
ALCS is underway right now at Fenway Park. We've got tonight Dodger Stadium hosting a Can the Dodgers Tie It Up game. Cody Bellinger. Again, you can go to brunch in the city of Los Angeles and not be made fun of. When you start doing things like this after a season like that, 11 NBA games tonight. So welcome back, basketball. Welcome back to Steve Kerr, who's going to join us at 5 o'clock today. Nick Bosa stops on by at 4:30. The 49ers are hosting the Colts on Sunday Night Football. Cam Inman with some very interesting information and some tweets about DeForest Buckner and his return to Levi's Stadium to take on the 49ers for the first time as a member of the Indianapolis Colts. So that is what we've got to talk about today. Over the next 3 hours, we got a good one for you this afternoon. Thanks for stopping on by. The Warriors, of course, hosting the Clippers tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. It is the home opener presented by Chase. Join us as we celebrate 75 memorable years of Warriors basketball. Visit warriors.com for tickets. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now
back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open at the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit.
Download the Odyssey app, favorite 95.7 The Game. You get breaking news updates, everything we do. It's all right there. It's the whole station in your pocket, powered by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Welcome back to Damon and Ratto. What a night last night for the Warriors, who got their season underway with a win down in star-studded Staples Center. Saw Adele rocking the full-on leather outfit. She had a leather pantsuit on. All right. She looks great, man. Adele. Ray. She can sing.
I've never heard a note.
Oh, you have.
I have not. Well, if I have, I wouldn't be able to identify it as her.
Hello?
Nope, that didn't help.
No. It could have been
like Adele.
Yeah, kind of, could have been Lionel Richie. But somebody created a meme last night. I said, welcome to courtside. I'm like, welcome to the others. Anyways, Adele. There you go. Good for her. She's lost a lot of weight, Ray. She looks great.
Fantastic. I didn't know that she was either large before or thinner now.
She was.
She's a mystery to me. And frankly, I prefer to keep it that way.
You don't like Adele?
Like one really good album. I mean, legit. Good album. Lady can sing.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't have any evidence to make her, to raise a stink on it. I know she exists.
I saw Jack there. Good to see Jack in his spot.
Good Lord. I mean, how old is he now?
Old. And he, for the first time, he officially looks really old. Really old. But it was good to see a crowd, some stars. Give me the Lakers. Give me some pizzazz. It's what the NBA is all about.
Ray was more locked in on Kid Cudi, I think. Right, Ray?
Kid Cudi, he spilled a drink, Ray. Nearly broke Steph Curry's tibia.
If he had, I would have noticed.
Did you see Steph Curry, though, slip on the drink? There was a spilled drink. And the way that his leg went out from underneath him, I'm always worried about Steph pushing off ankles.
Yeah, I mean, this much was in the scouting reports when they were scouting him at Davidson. Very poor skater.
Don't want him on skates. But, I'm glad that Steph Curry didn't blow his ACL out last night, slipping on Kid Cudi's spilt gin and tonic or whatever he was drinking. Looked like it was all clear liquid.
So it wasn't a purple gin.
It was not. He was not rocking a dark liquor cocktail.
Well,
which is a mistake because those cocktails are delicious. The Warriors last night put together a drink that sort of reminded us of drinks we used to be served by this team. I mean, they really moved the ball well. They absolutely played defense. I don't know if they looked fast. How about this? Are the Warriors about to be a really fast basketball team? Or did they just look fast in contrast to the Lakers, who are built to be a little bit slower? I'll tell you, that's where the Warriors won that game last night. They pulled the Lakers out into their part of the pool and then drowned them out there. Jordan Poole, there's a little, it kind of works on two levels. But they really did. They made the Lakers play the game that I don't think the Lakers are built to play. They're not built to run with anybody. The Lakers should be a Dean Smith four corners, taking you down to the last 3 seconds of a shot clock, half-court basketball team to be successful. They're going to have to go full-on Pat Riley New York Knicks.
Maybe that'll work. But, I mean, the Warriors, as you look at the 12 guys they dressed, it's not a fast team. I think the Lakers are just ponderously slow. And maybe they figure out how to play at a faster clip later. You know, maybe that means that you're not given 30 and a half minutes to Bazemore. But the Lakers didn't want to engage. And the Warriors' quickness last night was not really about foot speed. It was about ball movement. They let the ball do the running for them. And that's why they looked quicker. Because, you know, Curry's quick, but he's not fast. Poole's got some speed to him, but Wiggins doesn't. Green doesn't. Looney doesn't. Bielitsa doesn't. Andre Iguodala doesn't have to now. He could basically just float on a pillow about 4 feet above the ground.
He's fast with his mind, right?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. They don't have speed, but they do keep, they did at least last night, keep the ball moving so that the Lakers were always behind it. I mean, the Lakers were the best defensive team in basketball last year, were they not?
Among them.
Yeah. They should never give up 120 at home.
No. That is a game that they lost by fewer points than they had missed free throws. They lost a 7-point game and they missed 10 free throws. I mean, the Lakers could have absolutely still won that game last night. And I love Warriors basketball when it's hopping, when it's looking good. And I loved watching that game last night. And am I more excited about this season today than I was even yesterday doing the pregame show? The answer is yes. But I'm going to tell you right now, relax. Relax just a little. There are 81 games remaining and an awful lot that can happen in two different directions. Guy here from the 415 says, a few months ago, I put a couple $100 on Jordan Poole to win sixth man of the year, win most improved player. I got a great feeling about it. Look, after four quarters of basketball, you should feel good about it. But there's a lot more than four quarters of basketball coming. That is for sure.
Let me suggest he has the wrong potential award for him. Sixth man.
I don't know if he's going to... He might have a level of minutes, Ray, that'll eliminate them from that because of all the starts that he's going to get until Klay Thompson's ready to come on back.
I guess that, yeah. I mean, that would depend on when Thompson goes back. But last night they were saying pretty openly it's going to be at least a couple of months. So all that, you know, before Christmas hype, that apparently that's, you know, either the Warriors are trying to put a wet blanket on that or, you know, or they just came up with that on their own. But I think they're better off slow playing Thompson. You cannot rush a guy with that injury history back. He's too important. One more setback and he becomes a former player.
It feels like that. And I'll tell you, in the meantime, the stopgap that is Jordan Poole making his leap seems to be good enough to maybe get you through it. I mean, let me just say that there's nothing cooler in sports to me. Like, I don't know what you love about sports, Ray. We've been talking about sports for years. What you love about sports, I don't know. No one really does. I don't even think you do.
I do. It's just nobody else's business.
Here's what I love about sports. To me, there's nothing cooler than watching somebody realize their potential. Either a collective group as a team or an individual that people bought low on and you start seeing his stock rise. I love that. And that's why I really like Jordan Poole. It's one thing to get better, but it's another thing to get better and prove yourself completely fearless by the slow start to your career, if that's what we want to call it, to his career.
No, it's
really
a normal start to his career. That's what rookies normally do.
You're right.
They become good.
Yeah. No,
they don't do it right away.
And that's the thing. We have instant expectations. You saw how great Luka was from the minute you saw him. And, you know, you want everybody to now be that. Well, it's not that way. There are certain standout players whose developmental tracks should not be laid down for all the other trains to run on. It took Jordan Poole a little while to figure it out, and he is absolutely figuring it out. And what I really like about him is he's not just sitting there shooting. He goes to the rim. He attacks. And that's what I think they really need, because they're going to have the space for somebody to make an awful lot of easy baskets with the way that that court is going to open up, with the way that the ball was zipping around last night. I think my favorite part of the game, when it was over, is Steph Curry not even realizing that he had a triple-double, nor caring when he finds out about it, and basically insisting that, you know, last night, he basically, what'd he say, he played like trash? I mean, that is a harsh assessment of a triple-double, but it's where Steph Curry brought his assessment. I have this on here, don't I? Bottom right. There it is. Boom. But there it is.
This is a good feeling. You know, we had a lot of excitement coming into the season. The new cast of characters mixed with our core. And we weathered the storm tonight. Obviously, I played like trash, shot the ball terribly. But, you know, if we can win a game like that where we created some good shots and just stuck with it defensively, I guess, a pretty good team, and get a win like that. That's a good omen for us. So we got to, you know, learn from our mistakes, quit turning the ball over, make some more shots.
The fact that he would call his triple-double trash, Ray, it's the closest we're going to see Steph Curry trash-talking anyone. That felt a little bit like it was, you know, you're out here with Mr. Triple-Double in Russell Westbrook, who literally goes about making sure he gets that triple-double on every occasion he has the opportunity to make sure he can get one. And Curry playing it off like, I didn't even know that I was doing it. I had a trash night to begin with. That just, mwah, chef's kiss.
Well, he did have a trash night except for the assists. And most of the assists came in the second half. He had that one stretch where he was out of the game entirely, and the Warriors looked good. Not because he wasn't in the game. That's
right.
Ridiculous. But I think he sees a team now that he doesn't have to carry single-handedly, because for all the numbers that he put up last year, I don't think he enjoyed it. I mean, I think it was okay for him, but I don't think that's the way he likes to play ideally. He would rather be part of a greater whole. And last night, more often than not, they were all parts of a greater whole, because I think that's when they are at their best. You know, it's not when Curry's averaging 32. But the fact that he rebounded in the second half, the fact that he, you know, piled up a lot of assists in the second half and turned what was, at the beginning, a pretty trashy night into a serviceable performance. I mean, I just got the sense that he felt like, oh, this is what it used to be like again. You know, and maybe it was even pre-Durant that he was thinking about. But I think he likes being the best part of an ensemble.
Well, and he even said last night, you know, it feels like we got the right vibe in here. It feels like we're already, you know, there's a level of chemistry on this team that probably shouldn't even be there on your first game of the year, but there it is. By the way, the Golden State Warriors have yet to lose a basketball game. The ones that count and the ones that don't. They haven't seen the loss column yet. It's a nice way to start a year. Really is. And by the way, the Lakers, conversely, haven't seen the win column yet.
One other thing, though, since you brought it up. The Warriors do not have a guy who has demands. They all played at least last night. And again, that's all we have to go on, because I am disregarding the first five games.
What do you mean demands?
Nobody says, I have to have the ball in my hands this often. I have to get up this many shots. There's nobody who does that. And Curry, who could do it, won't.
Right. I think he so sets the tone for the rest of the locker room. If Curry's not over there aggressively clapping for the ball, getting really arrogant about it, who can?
Yeah, but he didn't do that when Durant was here either.
No.
And Durant did it less when he was here than he did when he was in Oklahoma City or last year in Brooklyn.
Hey, the one time he did clap the ball for the ball, yeah. Look what happened.
Yeah, I don't think the Warriors have ever been used to a guy like that. And the Lakers have four, of which two should be heated at all times, and everybody else should be kind of shunned. I mean, Russell Westbrook, whatever happened to him, he seems to be the last guy to have known about it.
He fancies himself a shooter. What's incredible is that he doesn't. Here's where I think Westbrook has been caught in between. A guy who had a little bit of a mid-range shot, tried to take it out to the three, never really had success. And what he has always been is an exemplary athlete who is, in terms of straight line speed, about as fast as you've seen in an NBA game. But he might have even lost a touch of that. So now he's not the athlete that he used to be, who is at his age, with all the minutes on his body. And he's not the shooter that he fancied himself to be. So he's going to have to reinvent himself on the fly. And I don't know if he knows how. I don't know if Frank Vogel's going to help him be able to get through. He's got one path out of this, Ray. I really think when we look at what's Russell Westbrook's year about to look like, he's got one path out of it. And it's LeBron James being able to teach and preach a level of This is the only way you can have success now, Russ, and I'm LeBron James. So if there's one dude in this league that you need to pay attention. And I understand that when you were with Kevin Durant, you didn't pay attention to Kevin Durant. Guess what I am? I'm the superior to that guy in every conceivable way of winning basketball. And you will pay attention to me. Or I will trade you because I am the general manager. And after four quarters, I'm really not happy about the team that I built.
Ah, therein lies the rub, though. I don't know that there's any place left for Russell Westbrook to go. This feels like his last stand, whether it's 1 year or three, whatever, because he is going to have to make adjustments. Because he's not selfish, you know. He certainly passes it well enough, but his selfishness comes in being the guy who always has to decide what happens with the ball. And it's not just him taking it and shooting it every chance he gets, but he needs to be the last vote on where the ball goes. And they have a guy to do that.
Right. He wants to lead the world in usage rate. He really does.
And he's done very well at that. If usage rate was a useful statistic, he'd be in the Hall of Fame already, still as an active player.
Yeah. Look, he either wants the shot, the pass, or the creates the turnover. I mean, that's it. Does the possession end with you? Is where usage rate comes from. And Russell wants all possessions to kind of flow through him. That's not the way he's built. That's not the way that team is built. And he has, you know, a certain amount of time here to figure it out before fingers get pointed and Los Angeles comes out for the... Yeah, I mean, they're going to come for him with knives.
No, you know what they're going to do? You're on the right track, but what they're going to do is the worse he gets, the more unsteady Frank Vogel's job is.
Oh.
He's the scapegoat here.
Frankie.
Ultimately.
Look out, Frankie.
And it won't have anything to do with him. I mean, he bought time with a championship, and nobody much groused about him last year when they ended up seventh because, you know, injuries. But when it comes time for people to look at that team and go, why aren't they 28-2? Frank Vogel is that guy.
Wow. I mean, that's...
He's always going to be that guy. And because he's a good soldier, he'll do it.
It's tough. It's tough to be that guy when you know that it's got nothing to do with you. We're going to get back to all the sauce that we're seeing in Jordan Poole this season. But let me tell you about Pod Sauce, a weekly discovery podcast that helps you find out the next podcast that you should be listening to. And as a very matter of fact, this week's episode should relate to an awful lot of you, because on this week's episode of Pod Sauce, Steve Kerr, he joined the show to talk about his passion for listening to podcasts. He also has got a history of hosting them. He reveals which Warrior player he thinks would have the best podcast out there. So check out the full interview, podsauce.com, podsauce.com. Do we really need to spell that? Do we think the word pod is confusing people in 2021? I think we got it.
I guarantee you, everybody's confused by everything.
Boy, that's a great question.
Podsauce.com. Check it out. The Odyssey app. You'll hear from Coach Kerr. You're going to hear from Coach Kerr here at 5 o'clock live on, you know, I've always liked to say, screw podcasts. This is called a broadcast. Like, damn it, how come we don't have a podcast? Well, it's because I got a broadcast.
You do have one. It just has a different name.
Yeah, well, they take the broadcast and turn it into a podcast. If you're good enough to turn your podcast into a broadcast, let me know. You might be good enough to be on radio one day.
Well,
this is the domain of the real broadcasters, Ray.
Well, of the broadcasters. I mean, you listen to Marc Maron, you find out, yeah, that's somebody who can make a podcast thing.
He's good.
There's a bunch of them. But
look at you doing Pod Sauce right now. What are you listening to, Ray?
Marc Maron.
Is he the only one?
Just about.
Let me ask you, did you see the Netflix special, the Netflix series Glow?
I did not.
The gorgeous ladies of wrestling?
I remember it when it was in its original rancid state.
Right, when it actually happened.
Yeah.
So Maron is in the show. And if you're a Marc Maron fan, you have to watch this show, Ray. He is so good.
Is he in all the episodes or just one?
No, he's in all the episodes.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, and he's really good.
That's a commitment I was not prepared to make.
But I'll tell you this, you're going to like it. It's so well done. It's well acted through. I think you would really, really like it. Glow on Netflix.
It was such a repellent idea when it first existed that I wrote it off immediately as a must-miss.
I'm telling you, Marc Maron steals the show. We have Jordan Poole, who is putting himself in position to steal an awful lot of attention. He's been fantastic so far. And Steph Curry can't help but notice that he is playing next to a kid who is absolutely on his way to making the leap.
Talked about it preseason a little bit. That's the next step. Showcase everything that you've been working on. You know, to be a solid budding star in this league, you have to be able to kind of deal with adversity in that sense and understand it's not always going to be perfect, but you're always going to be a threat out there and maintaining that even keel nature as much as possible. It's a long season, a lot of games, a lot of different scenarios you're going to be in, and you can't be on that crazy emotional roller coaster ride if you want to be great in this league. So just sticking with it. And for him, he knows he's going to be out there playing this year. Like last year or year before he's playing all the time. But last year where minutes were kind of all over the place. And this year he knows he's a part of us being successful. So it's confidence and opportunity like that.
Prepare, execute, remain calm. And that's pretty much what Steph Curry does. That's what all the great players do. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. They just know how to keep on coming back night after night to give you a consistent performance. And basically, here's the deal in basketball. The difference between good players and all-stars is consistency. That's what it is. Can you do that? You know, if we're playing 10 games in the next 20 nights, you're going to do that in at least 9 of them? That's the question that Jordan Poole's going to have to ask himself a little bit later on in this year. When he gets deep into this year. It's a great start, though. I mean, an outstanding start. There's just no way around it. It's been fantastic to see the first 4 quarters of this year and where this year goes. Nobody knows. Not yet, we don't. But somebody asked this question real quick. When has starting prevented someone from being a sixth man? Facts don't matter. If people think he's a sixth man, it's a wrap. So I know that people are complete morons, but believe me, some of these awards have ramifications, or I shouldn't say ramifications, but certain qualifiers attached to him. Yes, yeah. Like, you can't be, if you play X amount of innings, you can't be rookie of the year anymore the next year. If you only play a handful of innings and then you get sent back down and then the next year is your first year in the big leagues, you can still be eligible for Rookie of the Year because you have not crossed that threshold. There could be a threshold of games started or minutes played, which eliminates a player from sixth man of the year contention. I guess I would have to look that up, but I'm not interested enough to really even want to. Ray, you want to look that up?
I'll be happy to.
There you go.
For a while.
Ray's going to do something during a commercial break. There you go. Prepare and execute. That's the theme. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. Remember, we've got Nick Bosa at 4:30, Steve Kerr at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
Now back to Damon and Ratto. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Couple of interesting questions coming in on the text line. Why do you think Carmelo Anthony got such a round of applause last night? His appeal and respect around the league may be second to none. Well, let me tell you, Carmelo Anthony is wildly popular. There's no doubt, and that town loves a star, whole bunch of star effers, if you know what I mean, down in LA. And I will say this, Ray, and I hope you agree. There was an 8-year period of Carmelo's peak where I was disappointed that the Knicks only came to town, or the Nuggets only came to town. The Knicks, because the Nuggets obviously came to town more, but the Knicks only came to town once a year because Carmelo Anthony, for about a 4, 5, 6, 7-year period, was the biggest, smoothest, most effortless, gorgeous scorer in the game of basketball. He, at his heights, He was very, very special. And the reason why he got such a round of applause last night is because he's being billed as a false prophet down in L.A., and he's going to take them back to the promised land. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that because he doesn't have an awful lot left other than that turnaround shimmy baseline, you know, like 15-footer, which is going to be money forever.
He hasn't done anything bad to the Lakers yet. That's part of it, too.
Right.
That's the lifetime achievement applause. But if he starts shooting 3-for-9 night in and night out,
it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, well, Laker fans will let him know. Because while they are profoundly uncritical about their own team, like all fan bases, they will find a scapegoat when they need one. And there will be no end of possibilities. I mean, Laker fans do not like Dwight Howard.
I don't like Dwight Howard's hairdo. It looks like a cornucopia, kind of just like hanging out on the top of his head. And does that man really need to be wearing like straight out of the John Stockton Nut Hugger collections? Like, I mean, he has the shortest shorts that any grown man should have on an NBA court. There's an awful lot of thigh action going on with Dwight Howard.
Well, nobody ever said anything to Rick Mahorn when he wore them. Nobody ever said anything.
Here's the thing. Rick was actually wearing the longest shorts available, but his butt was so big that they just appeared short.
Yeah, you could hang clothes off it. No, I mean, Dwight Howard, he's sort of the land of misfit toys at this point, and the only thing he really does is commit lots of fouls in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And when the time comes that the Lakers need to rely on him, and they find out he's probably not going to be there for him, he'll be in the doghouse again because he was in the doghouse some last year.
We're brought to you by Livermore Casino, located on First Street in Livermore. Last night, Draymond couldn't help but notice that winning a game down in L.A. on a night where Steph was not feeling it, a little bit off, that's a good thing.
It's hugely. You know, we've relied on him so much, and we're still going to rely on him a lot. But, you know, when he can have a night like he had tonight, not get it going, and we still come out with a win, that's great. He did everything else. You know, he still continued to draw the double, make the right play, rebounded the ball. You know, he did everything he needed to do to help us win, except what we're accustomed to him doing, which is making shots. But
shots weren't falling, but he didn't fall off. He didn't go dobbered down. I always thought one of the best attributes of Klay Thompson is he could have a bad shooting night, but his ability to defend never waned. Like a lot of guys, their offense is connected to their defense or vice versa. And Steph, on a night where the shot's not falling, you'd think it'd be easy to have a little downer on himself. But nah, he just kept on going. He's a sneaky good rebounder for a man his size. He really is.
He's not that sneaky because he's the guy who chases down long shots. It's like he knows when somebody's missed one, he knows where the ball is going to be.
It's like he knows a lot about three-pointers.
Yeah, I might have studied him from time to time. But you raise an interesting notion. He's still not a league average defender. And while Klay Thompson is out, Jordan Poole is also not a league average defender. And that's the one thing that I think teams will pretty soon become accustomed to doing, which is wear those two guys out. More Poole than Curry, because Curry runs forever. But I think that's where Jordan Poole might have a little sort of stuttery start to this season, because I think teams are going to work him at the other end when they have the skill players to do that. And that's when he's going to have to make his next big development leap, because as good a shooter as he is, I don't think you can get away with being a minus defender. Not on this team, and not until they not only get Klay Thompson back, but when he can play defense at a Klay Thompson level again, and that may never happen. So, I mean, Jordan Poole, as much as it seems like he's turned the corner, he's heading up the fat part of the street, there's still stuff teams can do to him, and they will.
Everyone has their weakness poked and exposed by the coaches and talent in this league. You cannot hide on a basketball court. That's kind of why I think I love this sport. As much as, you know, there's no defensive shift that's going to take your best ability away from you on a basketball court. They know who the weak link is everyone, and they relentlessly just attack that player. It's what coaches and scouting reports are designed to do. Steve Kerr talking about Jordan Poole's night, how great of a start he had, and what he needs to do to make sure you get that night after night.
Yeah, it's still going to be a little bit of a roller coaster with Jordan, but the great thing is he's earned his confidence. And, you know, opening night, national TV, the only game going, everybody's watching, and he makes some huge shots in the second half to get us started. And, you know, that's what we know he can do. Now we've got to continue to work with him on, you know, not letting Avery Bradley back cut him, you know, for a three and, you know, plays like that. And he knows it. But I'm going to stay on him, and I'm going to keep mentioning those plays to you guys so that he can read it too. And because that's what separates a championship type player from a guy who scores a lot of points. And that's what it's going to take for him. He's got to lock in on the other end. But just really happy for him, how well he's playing, how confident he is. And as I said, he's earned it. He's worked really, really hard.
He said a mouthful there.
He really did.
He basically laid it out. You said, yeah, he'll score, but I don't want him to be a minus on the evening. I'm not going to let him be a minus on the evening. So he will have to he'll have to become more attentive to that, because just being a jump shooter, there are a million guys like that, and they come cheaper.
I mean,
he's got to be the kind of player where when you give him 33 minutes, you can feel confident for all 33. And that's the next jump for him.
I like how he said, basically, I'm going to tell you the things that I don't like so he can read about them too.
Yeah. See, that's what I have said forever, is they're not talking to us when they do those. They're either talking to nobody or they're talking to their players, because they don't care about us. But if they need to get a message through to somebody who pays attention to what other people think of them, oh, they'll use us like rags, and we'll happily let him.
Damon, the Warriors didn't shoot 53-pointers last night like they did throughout the preseason. What do you expect going forward? I think that is basically the fire alarm that is going to be the break glass in case of emergency. The Warriors have a style. And last night, they were able to fit their style into a game that got them a win. So they aren't going to go away from their style, which is overshooting. Now, I also think that there should be an embracing of hot hands. I mean, that's a thing. You're not going to get to 53s, Ray, on a night where Curry and Poole, who is your secondary scorer on the evening, basically, by default, when those two guys aren't feeling it, you're not going to see that 53 total. But on a night where they are, then I think you're going to see it.
You're going to see 53s when they're behind. That's when you're going to see 53s, right? Because 50 is a lot.
Well, and although that they were behind last night, they were never trying to close a scary gap.
No, that's what I mean. If they're down 15, yeah, they're going to start jacking because the math tells you to. But shooting 53s in a game, that's a lot. And to do it night in and night out, well, nobody's ever averaged that much. So, I mean, it's 50, I think, is too big an ask if you're expecting this team to be good. I think the more times they shoot 53s, the worse off they'll be, as good as shooters as they are.
By the way, we did look this up in terms of Jordan Poole being eligible for Sixth Man of the Year. There is a mechanism that would render him ineligible, and it's really not hard to figure out. If Jordan Poole starts 42 games for the Golden State Warriors, he would be ineligible to be Sixth Man of the Year. All you need to do is start one more game, then you come off the bench, and you cannot be the sixth man. So what's interesting about that, Ray, is it feels like that's the area where Klay Thompson was going to come on back about halfway through the year. 42 starts might be something. Look, it's way, way too early in the game to talk about trying to set the table for a guy to win an award, but maybe, just maybe, like, let's say they get to, you know, Klay's close to coming back. Jordan Poole can either start his 43rd game of the year, 42nd game of the year, Or that night they're going to give Damian Lee a start at shooting guard just to leave Poole eligible for sixth man of the year. Because, I mean, that's a cool thing to win. It really is. It's a nice thing for a young player. It's a feather to put in your cap, for sure. And I don't think they'd want to deny him the opportunity to win that.
They'd want him to win that for one reason, because that means that's the sooner that Klay Thompson has come back at Klay Thompson level or close to it. That's why him winning sixth man would be a feather in their cap, because it means they got to fullest strength as fast as possible.
We got to 4 o'clock as fast as possible this afternoon.
It took only an hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.